Welcome to the pulpit ministry of Christ Community Church in South Florida, aiming to make, mature, and multiply disciples by preaching and teaching God's Word based on the sufficiency of Scripture. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
Right? Gobble, gobble, right? Everyone's either, I like saying that, gobble, gobble. Everyone's either thinking about Thanksgiving, prepping about Thanksgiving. I know my wife yesterday, she went shopping. She said the store was wiped out. Everyone's shopping for Thanksgiving. And every one of us, we're going to be in a thankful mode this week, right? We're going to be around family, around friends, either Friendsgiving or church events or things like that. But we're going to be in a thankful mode this period. That's kind of like what Thanksgiving brings out of us. And I saw a research that was done by Lifeway Research that highlighted the top five things people are thankful for. Thankful for the top five things. Number five is personal freedom. People love their freedom. Number four, memories. People love and cherish memories. Number three is friends. Friends is number three. Number two is our health. And that spiked up a little bit after COVID. And number one, drum roll. Can I get a drum roll? Drum roll, anybody, anybody. It's family. People are thankful for family. My question to you all is, what are you thankful for? What will you share during Thanksgiving dinner? What will you share during your Friendsgiving? What message will you text back when you get your 20th gobble gobble text message? I get about 30 of those every year. What will you text back? What message will you convey when you're posting that beautiful Facebook post with the turkey in the middle and your friends and your family? What will you share with the world? What are you thankful for? And the title of today's message is titled Thankfulness Through Worship. Thankfulness through worship. As believers, we are called to worship. The book of Psalms models the call to worship for us, as the psalmist often opens calls to praise God amid trials, victories, remembering their own history. For example, Psalms 30, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. What does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to praise God? The following psalm that we're going to review, Psalm 100, the psalmist gives us a great insight as to whom and why we ought to worship. Now, for background of the text and big picture, the book of Psalms is a really great book of hymns and praises that the people back then often used to praise God and worship God. It is also a great guide of life of a believer. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, the book of Psalms is like a mini Bible. It's a guide to the way of life. So let's drill down into Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5. And although it is only five verses, there's a lot that we can extract and learn from as it relates to our worship and thankfulness. As we go through the text, we will look at the structure of the chapter, and we will know the following. We look to know who do we worship, how do we worship, and why do we worship, and what our worship should look like. So we begin with verse 1 and 2 in Psalm 100, and it reads as follows. Hopefully we have it back here. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence singing. Other variations, other Bible scriptures have it as shout a joyful noise or worship the Lord with gladness. So serve and worship the Lord with gladness. It also has it as come into his presence or come before him singing. So we see this calling of joyful acts. Joyful noise, gladness, singing, serving one another, servanthood. For background, David wanted God's people at that time to acknowledge what the Lord has done to them through praise and worship, good or bad. My question to you is, what does our worship look like these days? How did you worship the Lord this morning? How would you describe your worship? Was it in a joyful way? Maybe you were clapping. Maybe you were singing along. Did we come to his presence this morning, or were we just going through the motion? Were you thinking about lunch? If this is not you, if your praise and worship does not look that way, then let me remind you, God does not force us to worship. We do it out of our gratitude towards him for whom he is and lastly what he has done in our lives. And worship is not just the act of singing. It's really how we're being good stewards with what God has given us to manage or take care of. Many of us, God has given us a job. He has given us kids to shepherd. He has given us financial means and provision. Are we tithing joyfully and with gladness? God has given us a church body to worship and fellowship. Are you joyfully in fellowship with the body here at CCC? Are you coming to his presence to the Lord during our Thursday night prayer call? Or you're alone time with God? This calling that we see in verse 1 and verse 2, it's a universal calling for everyone. It's a general calling for everyone. Newsflash. That's my Pastor Bernie line right there. Newsflash. The gospel is for everyone to hear. Our time of prayer Thursday evening is for everyone. We don't have a prayer team. It may look that way sometimes, but it's for all to come in his presence and give thanks. Another way to worship God and show thankfulness to God is by being good stewards of our bodies, our temple. Sometimes we treat our bodies as if they were our own, really. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Reads as follows. Romans 12, 1, 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your and I spiritual worship. In other words, we ought to live for God. Are we living, are we currently living to glorify God with everything that we do? As we learn this in our FSG class, what is our only hope in life and death? To know and glorify God, period. At the end of the day, that should be the most important thing in your mind. How am I glorifying God? How am I knowing God? It continues by saying, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Folks, we can't eat like the world in gluttony. We can't eat when we're stressed out. And I can relate to that as I share with the guy. That's something I struggle with a lot. The drive-thru became my best friend. That was the way I was coping with things in certain situations. We need to be transformed by the renewal of the mind and be wise with what we see, what we hear, what we eat. So my question to you all this morning is, so how do we renew our mind? How do we know if our own worship is acceptable and pleasing to God? Where do we even start? We'll continue with Psalm, verse 3. It says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. It says, his. We are his. We are his people. And the sheep of his pasture. This right here is all about relationship with the Lord. To know the Lord. We need to know God in order to begin to renew our mind. Some translations have it as, acknowledge God. Know God. Acknowledge God. This is important to highlight because Many people know God. Many people know that God exists, but many don't acknowledge him. They don't acknowledge his existence, meaning they don't live by it. As a verb, the difference between know and acknowledge is know is to perceive the truth or factually to be certain of, but to the knowledge is to admit. The knowledge is to recognize the fact or to declare your belief to knowledge of God, to knowledge what we are sinful as human, to knowledge that he is our Savior. Again, why is it important to know that the Lord is God? And it says it there. He made us and we are his people. He made us and we are his people. Let me ask you, who do I pick on? Let me pick on David. David, let's say you got to fix your car. I know you got your new car outside, right? So you got to pick your car, David, and taillight breaks, right? Taillight breaks. You're like, man, where do you go? You go to, what are you, an AutoZone guy, O'Reilly guy? What are you? AutoZone? Okay, you go to AutoZone. You say, sir, my taillight broke, right? Taillight broke. They're not just going to go to the back and give you a taillight, right? They're going to ask you, right? They're going to ask you, sir, what's the make and model of your vehicle, right? They need to know, hey, you know what? This is a Toyota. This is a Honda, right? You can go to the U-Pick for a lower price. Remember the U-Pick? Anybody go to the U-Pick? Or David probably goes to Facebook Marketplace, right? Facebook Marketplace easier. But you're not going to get the same if you go to the manufacturer. God made us. He is our manufacturer. Our mindset is to be determined and reshaped by our knowledge of the gospel, by our understanding of whom God is and his attributes. That's the relationship, really getting to know who he is, his very essence. That's why here at CCC, we preach eat Bible daily. Eat Bible daily. Not only that, the verse continues and says, we are the sheep of his pasture. What does that mean? For more context, let's look at Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake, for his glory. That's worship. And this image of God as a shepherd and us as a sheep. Jerry, can you put that up, that image that we have there? This image of God as a shepherd and us as a sheep, like, it's crucial for our understanding and our walk as it relates to God and us, our dependency to God, him as creator and we as created. It helps us realign our walk as believers. It gives us more insight to our relationship with our Savior. A shepherd by nature stays with his flock, and his sheep are totally dependent on him. That's us, by the way. Where it says, he makes me lie down green pastures. That's where the sheep get fed. The shepherd provides provision. Where it reads, he leads me beside still water. That's where the sheep get water and rest. The shepherd provides protection. And after this rest and this protection, the sheep are restored to continue on the journey and to follow. Are we living in such a way? Are we living in such a way where we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Period. Are we living on that dependency daily? Are we hearing his voice? Are we living in a way that we're not content? That we are content with our lives in knowing that God is in control about every single little thing. For more illustration and context, let's go to John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And it reads as follows. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out." That's God's sovereignty. That's God's provision. That's God's protection. "When he has brought out all of his own, the elect, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Are we spiritually able to discern the voice of God and the voice of a stranger? Are we hearing his voice, or are we hearing the voice of the world, the distractions? Are we tuned in on Sunday and Monday through Saturday? That communication is a little statically, not as consistent, maybe not as clear. Are we desiring more of the glitz and the glamour of the world, or are we desiring to be closer to our shepherd? If you're depending on the shepherd joyfully, as this was described, then this is what your posture should look like to the world. Let's go back to Psalm, verse 4. It says, "Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise." For God's people in those times, they worship the Lord in temples. In this specific scenario, they were entering a temple. However, for us, we are free to worship God everywhere and anywhere. So what does it mean, enter his gate with thanksgiving? What is the takeaway for us as we go about our daily lives? How do we apply that? We should enter this church with thanksgiving and praise. These doors from the school, this is our temple. This is where we come to the presence of the Lord. This is where we fellowship. We should come with that posture of thanksgiving and praise. We should enter our schools and community centers with thanksgiving and praise to God. And I know what some of you guys might be thinking this. I know that this may be sound too happy-go-lucky. Everything is happy and joy. Maybe you're like, "Brother Rob, I'm listening to the voice. I'm listening to God's voice. But it's been hard. It's been difficult. It's been a journey." Maybe you're saying, "My path as a sheep, it's been rocky. It's been dirty. It's been uncomfortable. It's been long." Scripture tells us he will lead us. He will lead us. If you're truly, truly listening to his voice, he will lead us. It might not be how you exactly pictured it. Might not be how you exactly picture your life to be. All your dreams, your aspirations, relationships might not be just like that. But he will lead us. I know life happens. I know. I know we face pain, hurt, disappointment. persecution at times. But this is why we move forward. This is how we move forward. It says, give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generation. His unfailing love continues forever. So as a recap, we praise and worship God with joy and gladness. We worship him because he is God, our creator, our shepherd. And we do so everywhere. We enter all gates with joy, glorifying him. For because his steadfast love endures forever. And you still might say, my life is not perfect. It's not that beautiful. I have nothing to be thankful for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. It doesn't say rejoice sometimes. Rejoice always. The good, the bad, the ugly, the pain, the struggle. Rejoice always. We forget about how God is all-knowing and all-powerful. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and I. And for encouragement, if you're struggling with joy and understanding God's will over your life, run to the shepherd. Spend time in prayer and in scripture. Sometimes we just need to realign our priorities. I'll share a story with you guys. A couple days ago, I did a trail walk with my son, James. Do you have that picture, Jared? This is James and I. We're part of a Trail Life USA group. It's a Christian group where we teach men about walking worthy and knowing the Lord, learning about nature and being dependent in nature. And this was an orienteering class. I have no idea what it was before I did it, but I grew up in New York City. We never went camping. And, you know, I praise God, my wife. She always finds these things that are important for us to do. But anyhow, I'm a trail man now, guys. And we're taking this orienteering class, and we go with the guy that's leading us, the instructor, and the point of orienteering is to be able to navigate from point A to point B to point C using your map, using your compass. I've never used a compass in my life. I know east and west. I look, I'm like, turnpike, south, Palmetto goes like this. That's how I know my directions, right? But so we're in this park. We're trying to follow this trail, and he's teaching us. He said, hey, you know, put the compass here. There's a line. This is your starting point. This is your guide. This is where you need to start in order to navigate. If you want to go from point A to point B, if you want to know whether you're truly, truly going south or west or east, you need to start in this starting point. So we go. He does like the first couple. He does it for us. We're like following. We got it. We feel confident. We got all our tools. We're ready. By the fourth stop, he said, hey, you guys doing it on your own. James and I were like, no problem. We got it. We grab the compass. We look at the map. And we're like, hey, south. We got to go that way. He's like, wait, wait, wait. Orient yourself. Make sure you put the compass where we originally had it so that you know that you're truly going south. Orient yourself. We do it. We go the right way. Next time is our turn again. He says it again. Hold up. Orient yourself. Make sure that you're starting there so that way you know you're going to the right path. We as believers need to constantly orient ourselves, familiarize ourselves with the Word of God daily. That's the only way that we can navigate while we're here temporarily in this world. I know I personally struggle because sometimes I'm trying to navigate two separate races at the same time. And it will never work. It is tiresome. It is a waste of time. Orient yourself with the voice of the shepherd. And I'll close with this. And this is something that God's been working in me in my personal life. And it's that it's not about looking perfect or being perfect to the world, but it's more so being present with the Lord. It's not about trying to figure everything out or keeping up with society or your Instagram or expectations. It's about being present with the Lord. Being present in fellowship, in worship, in communion. Sometimes I have this conversation with my wife when we're having dinner. We're trying to have the dinner table ready with all the glitz and all the glamour. I'm like, guys, are we here? Are we present in this moment? At the end of the day, our biggest reason to be thankful for is our relationship with our spiritual Father. And we show that gratitude through our worship and how we live our lives while we're here. This Thanksgiving, CC family, I encourage you, don't be perfect, but be present and share how good God has been in your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures, Lord, that you provided us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this specific moment right here that you have us, Lord, Father God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for allowing us, Father, to be in your presence, Lord, Father God. Father, that today may be an encouragement, Lord, Father God, for all of us to reorient ourselves, Lord, Father God, to look for your voice, to listen for your voice, to seek to spend time with you, Lord, Father God, to get to know you, Lord, Father God, that I may be an encouraging moment for us to share with the world, Lord, Father God, whom you are, Lord, Father God, our Savior, Lord, Father God, our spiritual Father, Lord, Father God, our Shepherd, Lord, Father God, that I shall not want anything else, Lord, Father God, but you, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' heavenly, holy name we pray. Amen.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-centered body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on us and to learn how to give towards our media ministry, please go to our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's Christcomchurch, C-O-M.org, and look for the Giving tab at the top of the homepage.